Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. It's me and Keys Real Talk back with another episode. This is number 56. You know, we about to have a good show tonight. And like I always say, loan us your ears, and we always promise you a good show. So that's what we set out to do. I got my man Lee's in the building tonight. We're going to be talking a couple, two, three things. I got my boy Rodney in the building tonight. We're going to be talking a couple, two, three things, and it's going to be a good one. Rodney, what's going on, bro?
Yo, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear.
Perfect. There we go. What's going on, man?
How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I was fighting this nap earlier just for y'all, so just to show how much I love y'all. We here, man.
Lee, you out there, bro?
Yo, what up, man?
Oh,
yo, what's
Lee,
going on, man?
Man, what's good?
Yo, give me an imaginary hug from Colorado, bro.
What you say?
Give me an imaginary hug from Colorado, bro. I miss you.
I actually don't give you a long distance high five instead.
That'll work. That'll work perfectly. I'll take it.
Yo, what's going on, man? Sorry I'm a little late. I was on the outside in the yard doing some work, and then I was like, oh, snap.
Nah, you good,
what's
bro.
Up,
we're good to go. We're locked and loaded. We was having a little bit of audio issues in the beginning. I was talking, he was talking, but we couldn't hear each other. But we got that down pat before the show even started, so that was dope. And we rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
Everything kind of just fell right, you know, right into place, right on time.
Yeah, and Lee came to right on time, man. So what we doing, man? I'm ready.
Facts. So, me and Lee, I'm gonna start it off with this because I've been telling him we've been talking about this, you know, earlier today and whatnot, and I'm sure he might have forgot, but probably not. He's probably still waiting to hear what I'm about to drop right now. So I'm going to just get it right out there in the beginning. It's right in the description. You know, the last couple episodes, I've been putting it in the description if we're going to be talking UFC, because I know we have a fan base that strictly likes to hear about us talk UFC. So I like to put it in there so people have at least a little bit of an idea and they know what type of content they're going to be getting. So right off the bat, I want to drop some news. Well, I wouldn't say this is breaking news. This is more like the rumor report. But I think this will be breaking news pretty soon. I'm just going to drop it here first. And then once it actually happens, y'all can say you heard it here first. So, Lee, you ready for this one?
I've been waiting. You've been teasing me with it all day. So what's up? All
right. So I think it was last week's show or the week before. We was just asking each other, what are they going to do for that main event at Madison Square Garden? And I was telling you how I was watching the Below the Belt with Brandon Schaub, and I was watching the Chael Sonnen show, and they both suggested, you know, John Jones probably going to be in the main event. But that was just speculation. I mean, I still have hopes for John Jones to be in the main event. I hope to see that happen. Maybe USADA suspension, you know, can get a little shorter, and he comes back after a year. That'd be cool, and it's still possible. But I've caught wind of another report from a couple of my inside sources that break a lot of, like 98% of the fights that I go forward and break on this show, that always end up being true. So my sources that report all those fights, which we talk about, also reported, one or two of those sources reported earlier today that there's a possibility, and I think the fight has been offered, for the main event of UFC 230 to be your boy Tony Ferguson might be fighting GSP for the number one contender for the 155.
And that's going to be the main event?
And if that were to happen, it would be perfect. It would be cohesive with what we were just talking about last week, because you brought up to me how, well, you asked me how I felt about them saying George St. Pierre should fight the winner of, you know, the lightweight title fight, you know, whether he fight McGregor or Khabib. And when I caught wind of that today, I was like, okay, that kind of just puts, you know, the four of them guys in kind of like a little tournament. Because you have the Las Vegas card and then the Madison Square Garden, you know, back-to-back months. So that would kind of figure that out just in time for whatever they want to do right after that. So, like I said, it ain't official news, but my sources that I, you know, that break all the pretty much all the fights that I hear about and then which end up being official shortly after are speculating that that might be the fight. And part of the evidence why I say that is because from the horse's mouth, I seen a screenshot of a tweet from Tony Ferguson, because you know how he's pretty active on Twitter. And he likes to talk and he likes to tweet. So I seen a screenshot of a tweet that he had, and he's been teasing an opponent for the McGregor-Khabib card. But, I mean, regardless of which card it's on, I guess it doesn't make much of a difference. And he posted a couple of training videos, and people were just wondering, because, you know, he's saying, oh, you know, so-and-so, somebody going to get it, this and that. Like, and then we tweeted kind of a hint towards who the opponent might have been. And it was something along the lines of, I'm going to try to pull up the tweet, actually, but it was something along the lines of, like, wait till this guy finds out who he has to fight next. And he mentioned something about, I got to pull up the exact tweet, but he mentioned something about pterodactyls. He said, like, wait till this guy, something, he got to go, like, dig up pterodactyls or something like that. And it sounds funky right off the bat, but somebody, I forget who else it was, they made a good point that George St. Pierre is, that's one of his big interests is paleontology. So if he were to be hinting at who the opponent was right there, and that was, if the context was read right in that tweet, then he would be hinting at fighting George St. Pierre.
I just don't see that being a main event, because it ain't for a belt, though. So you'll have a main event in Madison Square Garden just for a number one contender fight. To be honest, I like the idea of the fight, because George is a big draw, and I think Tony dangerous everywhere in a fight. So I think it'll be definitely a good fight. But I would buy it, but I hope that wouldn't be the main event. I hope that would be something like the co-main event, and hopefully your first rumor comes true, and let Jones Gustafson be the main event, and then St. Pierre and Ferguson be the co-main. I would like that better. I think that'd be a bigger seller for New York. But I think George St. Pierre sells anyway, so UFC can't go wrong with him. So him against Ferguson for the number one contendership. I like that fight a lot.
Yeah, mind if I add real quick? Because I know I'm not the UFC guy, but just real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Okay, so, all right, so Lee, you saying you don't really agree with the number one contender match being the main event. And whatever the other match is that Keith was talking about with the rumor, does that involve like does the other match involve like a title on the line, or is it like a big grudge match?
It's a grudge match, and it'll also be for, basically, I'm not even going to say interim light heavyweight championship. It'll be for the light heavyweight championship belt, because the real champion will not fight the winner of that fight. I think he will vacate the belt, and whoever wins that fight, I can recognize as a champion. So if that fight happens, I'll be all for that fight. And I think it'll make Daniel Cormier vacate the championship and start holding up the lightweight division. So I think Jones Gustafson would be a great main event, and then George St. Pierre, Tony Ferguson as a co-main, and then maybe maybe have somebody else out there, man.
Well, you have Nate Diaz.
I don't know who
else in Poirier.
Yeah, you'll have young let him, yeah. So you'll have if you have yeah, that's three top caliber fights right there.
Yeah,
so
that's three high
that pay-per-view
fights.
Could be bomb. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, so well, go ahead, James.
I just want to interject because, yo, Lee, weren't you saying just last week that, like, about Cards not needing to have a title fight or like a fight not needing to have a title on the line still be to be sold as a big fight? Weren't you just saying?
Yeah,
that?
I did say that. I did say that, but you got to look at the venue though, Keys. You're talking about Madison Square Garden.
Oh no, that Madison Square Garden requires a title, a big title, being on a
yeah,
a big title.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, like
that's
you
Madison
have it
Square
at,
Garden.
Yeah, I would say like venues like Vegas, Madison Square Garden, maybe L.A., and maybe I wouldn't even say Brazil because Brazil, as long as they got a bunch of Brazilian fighters on the card, they're gonna sell out. They normally have good fight cards down there. But I think anywhere you
basically
go up for
top,
the first
like
time
a
should have
a venue. Basically like a top-tier
yeah.
venue or a top-tier city. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like L.A., New York. Maybe
that,
Chicago. Is up
that's
there.
All I'm saying,
maybe
Keith.
Chicago.
That's all I'm
yeah,
saying, Keith. I get what you're saying. I did say that. But I just think certain venues, you got to have a title attraction. I think
that's a fact.
Yeah.
Like, for example, go ahead.
But at the same time, once again, I think George St. Pierre would sell just because he's a big draw. If they didn't have a belt on the line, I think just because of his name, they would sell pay-per-views and also probably sell out MSG because people from Canada would drive down to see him fight in MSG. So I think they would sell.
Well, I mean, on top of that, too, is don't forget Nate Diaz is a huge draw. I mean, him and McGregor's two main
that's
events.
That's right, that's right.
There was no title. Him and McGregor's two main events, so there was no title. And people, those were two of the biggest fights ever in anything. Like, those are, like, I think top 15 pay-per-views ever. I think the second one is, like, top 10, you know, pay-per-view sales event. And no title.
Yeah.
I mean, you
yeah,
need
totally
McGregor,
agree.
But Nate Diaz is a big part of was a big part of that. You think that
but
if
I
it
think,
was
I think
if it was McGregor,
no, I think
and,
the only reason the second
matchup,
fight was big. I think the only reason the second fight was big is because Nate beat him the first time. I think if McGregor would have beat him the first time, then maybe
yeah,
the second if they would have had a second fight, it wouldn't have been big. Yeah. So that's the only reason why it was big, because he beat him the first time.
Yeah, I see. Well, that's
but,
Rodney,
they do need to have a big card for MSG. They got to have a big card for New York, man, because, what, they fought for like 18 years to get UFC in New York. So I think every time they go there, they got to have a big event.
And they just lost the Romero fight. Yoel Romero pulled off is off the card out of the Paulo Costa fight. So they got to make up something for that too. He's out like 4 or 5 months with an injury.
Mm.
Did you know he just signed an 8-fight deal? You know they just signed Yoel Romero
to
an 8-fight contract, and he's 40 years old.
8 fights?
Goodness. That's
God,
crazy.
Damn.
I never heard of a contract that big, and he's the oldest guy to ever sign it. That's like, that's historical, and he didn't even, my God. That guy's a, that's
8 fights?
Wow. That's what he said.
That's a lot.
He was on air, and they asked him, he said 8 fights.
All of them better be me.
Man,
that's what I got to say.
Nah, he one of those guys that I think once he get past about 42, once he get about 42, 43, he going to start looking bad in the ring. And it's just gonna end on a sad note. And you're going to be looking at him like you looked at Chuck Liddell, like you looked at Ben Lieben, like you looked at Diego Sanchez. You're going to be like, all right, UFC, stop putting them in fights, man. Give him a job
like,
with the company.
Now you're making him look bad. You're also making the company look bad by constantly booking him.
Just like I just seen the other day, they got Gray Maynard fighting Nick Lentz. And I'm sitting up here like, these two guys, man, they still fighting? Come on, man.
Yeah, but, you know, but these guys aren't. Hold on. I got to go look into this now. These guys aren't, like, we're not talking about just a regular athlete here. Like, Diego Sanchez was good at one time. That was a long time ago, but he was never Yoel Romero. He's an incredible athlete.
None of them ever had. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Look at the physique. The physique that he has for his age is, I've never seen anything like that before.
But Keys, one thing about Yoel, though, if you look at it, he's trying to fight in a division that he can't make weight no more. So he's eventually going to have to move up to light heavyweight. And is he going to be able to do all the things he did at 185 and 205? You know, because you're talking about he'll be fighting like John Jones, Manoa, Gus Gustafsson, I ain't going to say Glover Teixeira. What's the dude name? Anthony Smith, you know, guys like that. Think he'll better do what he did at 185 and 205?
That's a good question, but at the same time is that I still think that if he went up to 205, he would still be far ahead of probably that entire division in athleticism. So I think that and cardio. I don't think any of those guys
last
the way that he
did
does.
Did you say athleticism?
I said athleticism.
You think he's a better athlete than John Jones?
Oh, man, here we go. Guy barely even fights.
Talking
about the rest
of
the division.
Let's not forget.
My bad. I'm talking about the active UFC roster.
I got you.
So if you go off the rest of it, if you look at the current standing, because John Jones isn't even active in the UFC right now, if Yoel Romero were to fight any of those guys at 205 right now, I would take him to beat anybody in that division. Maybe Gustafsson would be the closest fight, but anybody else, I would take him to beat. And Cormier would be a tough fight. And besides them two guys,
yeah, because 205 is weak. Yeah, 205 is weak now. 205 used to be strong, but it's kind of weak now.
Damn, that's gonna suck.
But still, even with him putting on 20 pounds, I still don't think. When I said athleticism, I'm saying that just how shredded that he is. I think even if he probably walks around at 200 pounds. So as shredded as he is, if he were to just keep the weight on and go fight, I still think he would look better than all those guys.
I got you. I agree. I mean, I agree with you. I think Gustafsson and the way the current division is stacked up now, Gustafsson will probably be his toughest fight. I think everybody else, he would probably dominate them as far as wrestling is concerned. Yoel do have some decent striking too, but it's just certain guys he probably wouldn't want to stand and bang with at 205. But I think he'll be respectable at 205. I think Rockhold is eventually going to come up to 205 also. So 205 might be able to be good again, but right now it's not that good.
All right, so at this point, I have a question for Rodney because I think he'll be able to answer this for us because he watches wrestling. So I saw a picture earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture earlier today of your boy Brock Lesnar, and he's looking a lot smaller, and there's a big reason for that. Did you notice his size difference?
No.
Yeah, he's off the roids.
Yeah,
Wait, because he's
I saw a picture of him side to side with probably like an event maybe a month or two ago, and then his like a more recent picture, and he looks a lot smaller. He doesn't – well, because I imagine he's in a USADA testing pool now, which is the where you go to get cleared for a UFC fight. He just dropped the belt. I heard he dropped the belt at an
for
event recently.
Top,
so
yeah.
Those two things lead to down – yeah, those two things leads him down the road because – He's gearing up for a UFC fight come 2019. So, did you notice the size difference?
But
have you seen it?
Here's the thing. No, I didn't. You want to know why? Because I barely see Brock Lesnar along with that Universal title until he lost it. So it led to the point that I could care less about where Brock Lesnar whereabouts is and what he's doing. That's why I never noticed. I didn't even notice he got smaller.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And getting smaller. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead,
Ron. The question. Go ahead. I asked you the question. Go ahead.
But as far as Brock getting smaller for Brock, it's still huge to me.
I'm
5'10", 145, 150. That man, even before the roids, he was if he was roids, if it was roids, because I don't fully know. But if it was roids. He was like 6'6", 975 pounds full of muscle. So now, even though he might be off, maybe slimmer, that's still 730 pounds full of muscle. Maybe a little blubber. That he's still huge to me. That's probably why I never noticed, even during the Roman Reigns match. Why? Because I just wanted him to lose the damn title. That's all I cared about, which I'm glad it finally happened.
How do you feel about that? It's Roman Reigns because one of the last shows that we did, not last week, but a couple of shows ago on episode 50, you were pretty vocal about the WWE pushing Roman Reigns too much to the point where fans don't like to see him. So how do you feel about them putting the belt on him now?
Well,
it was bound to happen.
Yes. Well, that's one. And two, at this point, as many times we've seen Roman versus Brock Lesnar or involved in a match involving Brock Lesnar and him losing almost every time was on the line or not, but losing every time when the title was on the line, he had to win this one, especially after the way he got into this match. Because before that, he had an Extreme Rules match against Bobby Lashley, and Bobby won. You saw me go be happy and crazy for that. Then 2 weeks later, they face each other again for a number one contender match, and he loses when clearly you had a big money match that would have been great that we've been waiting for decades between Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. But instead, you want to push Roman Reigns again. So now I'm like, all right, we have no turn but to get stuck with this. We might as well watch, see what happens. Roman better win this time. If not, we're officially done with WWE. He had to win that match. He had to. And I'm glad he did. I was cheering. I was happy. I was happy that he won. Why? Because now the title is back on Raw, like normally again. The title is barely even. The title is barely 2 years old. So it hasn't even been around long enough for it to be respected yet, and already it was looking bad because not only was it with Brock Lesnar who barely showed up, but with a reign that's. In my opinion, it's pretty subpar that no matter how long he's held a title, and y'all already know how I feel about that title reign compared to CM Punk's title reign. So I'm not going to go deep into that. Yeah, I'm not going to go do a rant on that. But, hell, at least it was somebody, and Roman Reigns is actually a pretty good wrestler. And in my opinion, he's getting a little bit better with his mic skills. So I think he's not going to be a bad champion. I personally wanted him to lose against Finn Balor. Not because I don't like him or I do, because I actually do like Roman. It took me a while because I remember before I took a break from watching wrestling. No personal reason. I just fell off for a second. Then I got moved to watch wrestling brawls out of nowhere, then started catching up with wrestling and everything. And I was still confused on why everybody was booing Roman until I seen it and realized, oh, because he's getting overly booked over great talent like Finn Balor, like Seth Rollins, like Dolph Ziggler. Not saying Roman's not talented, but good God, we see that y'all want him to be the man. But there's so many other people that could be the man as well. You got Braun Strowman. He's hot. You got Finn Balor. He's lovable. You got freaking Seth Rollins. He's been doing great with the IC title. Dean Ambrose is back. He has potential. Kevin Owens, he's been used as a freaking scaredy cat. Like, it's like there's so much other talent you got, and there's plenty of others. You're barely using Bobby Roode right. Bobby Lashley, it looks like he's being used as a freaking waste. Like, Bobby Lashley beats Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules. He gets nothing, but maybe a number one contender conversation. Roman Reigns beats Bobby Lashley. He gets a whole another shot that we all did not want to see again. We've seen this match 2 times already this year. We don't want to see a third time, especially when we've seen this millions of times before. But
I think you're missing the boat on this one, Rodney.
Well?
I think you're missing the boat on this one.
Go ahead.
The thing is what they want to do is they want Roman. Basically, at the end of Raw, when they put the Shield back together, basically what they're going to do is they're going to do what they wanted to do prior to Ambrose getting hurt. They're going to have the Shield have all the belts, and I'm thinking that they probably going to go through at least the Royal Rumble with all the belts, and then you'll have Strowman versus Roman at WrestleMania, and I think Strowman will win. Or you might have all three of the Shield members fighting for the belt at WrestleMania. So it's either going to be Strowman against Roman Reigns, or it's going to be a triple threat match between the Shield members for the belt. But I think the thing with Brock is they had to get the belt off of Brock because everybody know he's going to the UFC. I think it would have been a perfect time to put the belt on Strowman. You put the belt on Strowman, and you have Roman still chasing, you know, that way because they're still trying to get the fans behind Roman. But you could make Roman a heel then. You could turn him heel because Braun Strowman is over, and you have him become a Heyman's guy. You have Roman become a Heyman's guy, and you let Dean and Seth do their thing. Then you bring them back together probably at Royal Rumble or something like that. But I think the Lashley thing, he will have a big match at WrestleMania. I know he wants to get at Brock Lesnar, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll probably have him wrestle somebody like Kevin Owens, or maybe him and maybe they might have another swap out. Well, they might have another swap out being that they're going to Fox next year. But Bobby Lashley will have a big-time match at WrestleMania. Or, you know, he might win Royal Rumble. You never know. Because you might have a triple threat. You could say Lashley wins Royal Rumble. You have Lashley, Strowman, and Reigns in a triple threat for the championship, though. So you still got a lot of options. But I think it was a good idea to get the belt finally off on Brock so the belt can be on TV every week. So you ain't looking at the Intercontinental belt as more important than the championship belt. And I think another thing what they need to do. Yeah, and I think another thing what they need to do is I'm all for the women, but I think the women, man, they need to do the women like they do 205. They need to have them how they own show. I want to see how this pay-per-view play out. Yeah, I think see how this pay-per-view play out and see what happens. I mean, they did a good job with Becky Lynch going heel. You know, that was cool. They actually had her looking hot the last couple times, you know, because, you know, I liked her old ring attire. I don't really like the ring attire she wear right now. But, you know, they've been having her look all sexy and stuff, so that's been dope. It's a lot of things they need to do, but I think you're going to have Kurt Angle versus Triple H at WrestleMania. I think you're going to have that this year. I want to see Finn Balor, the Demon, versus The Undertaker. I think that would be dope.
That's a dope match.
Two dope entrances. I think that would be dope. I want to see Sanity finally get their shot, probably at the Bludgeon Brothers or something like that. Probably the Bludgeon Brothers and Bray Wyatt. I would love to see that fight if they could make that happen. But that's a lot of stuff that got in between now and WrestleMania. So I know Roman is forced down our throat, but for the first time, I have to say I agree with WWE. But I think they could have went. They should have went with Braun and still had Roman chasing.
That would have made it more interesting.
Exactly.
Wait, what are they doing with Bray Wyatt? What are they doing with Bray Wyatt at this point? Because the last time I seen him, they had him.
The world,
they had Bray Wyatt.
The leaders of worlds.
Man, come on, bro.
They got him teamed up with Matt Hardy, man. Yeah,
they
got him teamed up with Matt Hardy. Go ahead.
The last time I seen him, they had him. He was having the feud with Randy Orton, and I was liking what they were doing with that.
Oh man, that was a long, long time ago, bro.
Yeah, that was
early
last year.
Yeah, he was on SmackDown still.
Long time ago. You made it sound like that was like 3 years ago. He said it was last year.
Yeah, he low key did.
Yeah.
But he's in the tag team division with Matt Hardy right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's cool.
But
I always thought,
speaking of your boy Randy
Bray
Orton,
Wyatt underrated too.
What they're doing with him and Jeff Hardy is kind of dope too. I like what they're doing with Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. I want to see Brother Nero come out.
Oh yeah, I remember.
What are they doing?
They making
Rodney,
it so that. Go ahead.
Oh no! What I was gonna say was, even though I like what they're doing with Randy, I personally wish that it would have been a triple threat match for the Universal title with Randy. Because it's like you got Randy like popping up here and there in the middle of Jeff's matches. Like, why not build with that too? And that would make the U.S. title situation a lot more interesting and a lot more make people want to see what happened between these three more. Even though he's the writers are making him aim more for Jeff Hardy, like Shinsuke is like, man, I just like when they also make titles a little more relevant, because as far the knowledge that I know from like some of the sources, the U.S. title was probably the least relevant until Jeff Hardy held the title again. Held the title. So I feel they should be doing whatever they can to make the title even more relevant. And this Randy thing has made it more interesting for us to watch it, but it's just for Randy and Jeff Hardy, not really for the U.S. title, no matter how good Shinsuke Nakamura is doing this. It made it seem more like it was more focused on Randy versus Jeff than on Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff in the Universal title. So I was like, yo, why not do all three? That would have been a great, it's a pretty entertaining match.
Yeah,
I think what peekaboo entrance.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do though is they really don't know how to market Shinsuke, because he doesn't speak the greatest English, and that's the problem with him and Asuka, because they really can't get on the mic and articulate things the way the American wrestlers can or whatever. But I think with what they're going to do with Shinsuke, they probably have him and Rusev probably going to a feud or something like that. I think that would be good for Rusev. And they probably have Rusev win the belt. And I think with Shinsuke, they probably end up having him feud with CN, Almas, or something like that. But they're going to have to bring Shinsuke back to being a good guy. Because I really don't think he's getting over as a heel. So I think they're going to have to bring him back as a good guy in some kind of way, where he come out and save somebody and shake their hand or something like that. But the hottest thing they got going right now is Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is the hottest thing they got right now, him and AJ Styles. They done made it kind of personal. So the Samoa Joe, AJ Styles thing is hot right now. I really don't know how long they're going to roll with it. I think they should roll with it all the way through Royal Rumble. And they have the joint pay-per-views now. But, you know, they got to build up all the, you know, build a fuse up. And they got to make Royal Rumble worth your while because it's one of their biggest cards. So, especially with SummerSlam just ending.
Right.
I was just
about
to
ask
you some more Joe win the belt.
I was just about to ask too what they were doing with AJ Styles. They haven't.
Oh, this one's
really
AJ been
Styles
a champion for a long
Joe.
Ass time, man.
Well, I know
AJ
since
Styles
November.
Been a champ for a long time.
Since
I wonder
November,
how long they got a belt on him.
Yeah, but AJ actually competes though.
AJ is a man.
It's fine
bro.
If you're a champion.
AJ
you
is a man.
That's what I'm saying.
AJ is
he
the man,
competes,
man.
Though. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah, I think. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying I think with AJ though, they got to figure out a way where he can still be relevant without the belt, because you can't have him just have the belt, have the belt, have the belt, keep the belt, because then
like
as fans we already know. Yeah, as a fan we know that. Okay, what you trying to do now? You trying to have him break CM Punk's title reign, consecutive days of the title with the title. So we understand that, but we'll see what they do with him. But I think Samoa Joe should actually be champ, man. I love Samoa Joe,
and
I think every once in a while you do got to put the belt on the heel.
And plus, they're not going to be all that effective after Brock Lesnar just broke the record, broke freaking CM Punk's record. So it's like, oh, y'all starting to make this a trend now, huh?
Yeah.
First they got Brock, now AJ. No matter whether AJ's reign is good or not, it's like, all right, dog, come on. It's
yeah.
not really as interesting.
I think I agree with that, what Rodney was saying. It's like, I think the word is, it becomes oversaturated. Like, the idea of having a title reign is way too much in the ears of the fans. Like, I feel like the WWE, like, I don't think they have a problem with, like, the fans' interest. Like, you know, they have, like, the top ratings on TV for, like, the past decade and stuff like that. Like, Raw and SmackDown do, like, crazy numbers on TV every night that it's on. Like, I don't think they have a problem. It's just that, like, the dialogue and, like, what fans are like, what they're thinking about the superstars has changed, I feel like, because I just remember when I used to go to the shows years ago, every time, you know, SmackDown came to the Garden, you know, I'd go to the show, and it was just like, I mean, of course I was younger, so the narrative is different with the superstars and stuff like that, but it was just like, you never heard other people who I might have talked to at the show, or people that I'm next to in line, or people at the other event or at the signing or whatever, anything to involve with the super, you never heard people talking about stuff like that. Like how long, like, or even having the organization advertise it. I don't know like exactly how they advertise it, but the way Rodney, you made it sound was that like the WWE, like I just read an article about, because I was reading something about Brock Lesnar, and they were in the article, they were talking about, they're like, oh, this, you know, his really, like, how great the, you know, his title reign was, and you know, he had this really, you know, extenuous, you know, title reign or whatever, like thing like that. Like the fact that that's in people's mouths is kind of sad. Like it should be more based on the superstar and what and the skills and what they've shown and the great matches they put on, not about, you know, the number of days and statistics like that. Like, you never heard about stuff like that years ago, the old, you know, WWE days, like, you know, before the PG era and stuff like that. You never heard about stuff like this. So that's just, I feel like it should be more based on the skills and the great performances they put on.
I agree. Yeah, it ain't like that no more, man. Because the average fan now, they, because on the telecast, man, they always bring it up. Like when Oscar was undefeated, they were like, "Yeah, for 1,077 days, she's been undefeated. How long will her streak continue?" It was like, "Man, we know she's undefeated, man. Can y'all stop with it now?" So they beat it in your head on the telecast. And I know one thing about me when I watch for the I like to see the wrestlers wrestle, and
Facts.
I like, see, that's why I like NXT. NXT, man, they build the stories up, they build the feuds up, and then they get them like the Ciampa and Gargano fight for Saturday.
Oh, what
man,
a
man, that
match
was so good, man.
What a
that
match.
That match was good, man.
That was incredible.
And it was like 30 minutes. Wasn't it about 25, 30 minutes?
Yeah, it was long. It was long. And you didn't want it to end.
No, you didn't.
And somehow when you thought it was over, one of the two shocked you every single time. Like, yo, how the hell did he get up from that? I saw one time Ciampa ran Johnny over and broke the barricade, and then he buried him with the pieces of the barricade and put him even put the dude that Giant accidentally super kicked over him just to make it hard for him to get out, and he still got out.
I'm like,
how the hell did he get out of that? What a match.
Yeah, that match was off the chain, man.
That was incredible.
That match was good.
I will hug those two. They did a great job, man.
But see, the thing is that Triple H runs NXT, and Triple H basically he went back to the old, kind of old school wrestling with a new school flavor, where it's all about the wrestling and the stories. It ain't about, you know, you could do a backflip on the top rope and land on four guys, and you could do a suicide dive and all that. He build up the feud so that by time they get to where, you know, they get to the pay-per-view or the takeover, these guys, man, they just go full-blown at it. Even the Ricochet
Adam Cole
match was good. Yeah, that match was good.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was going to
so,
I already knew that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think with wrestling, though, as a fan, the WWE, they like to throw stuff at you as far as, like, you know, stats and this and that and this and that. And you could tell the people that they really like because they'll definitely hype them up, like, during the broadcast. Like my man, I can't think of his name, but he does Raw and SmackDown. He never says anything bad about Alexa Bliss or Carmella, even though Carmella has to be the worst female wrestler in WWE. She has
Wait,
to be
you talking about one
wrestler.
Of the commentators?
Yeah.
You talking about Corey Graves?
Yeah, Corey Graves, the one that can't wrestle because of concussions, yeah.
Well, I know
that. Yeah, man, just pay attention to what he be saying, man. He never say nothing bad about Carmella or Alexa Bliss, never.
Because he's a heel commentator.
Huh?
Because he is the heel commentator. Heel commentators
Brian Sexton is the good guy. Yeah. Brian Sexton is the good guy. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Brian Sexton as a commentator. It don't really sound too intriguing.
Actually, he's not good at all. He's not
what
good at all. They need to replace him. He's not good. He doesn't bring nothing to the commentary. And then it seemed like Corey Graves be punking him. And I really didn't like him.
Oh,
I definitely didn't like the – then like 2 weeks ago when they had Renee Young on commentary, she was terrible. I was like, man, this ain't good.
Hey, y'all.
But you know, the commenter, go ahead.
Hey, y'all, we have a caller in the queue. I'm about to jump him into the call, see what's up. Wait one second. Hello.
What's going on, guys? I'm a little late to the function right now, but I got a question for Lee. This is out of left field. It's not related to, you know, the topic at hand, but I just wanted to throw this out there because I think you might have
This is
Robbie.
All right, go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah, so I think Keys will have some good input on this too. I have my own take on it, but I just want to throw it out there for you guys.
How about this? Give us your take on it, and then, you know, give us your take first, and then we can, you know, chime in.
Okay, cool. So the question I was going to ask is, how important is it to date more than one girl? more than one woman in your life, like relationship-wise. Yeah, so I know this is kind of like a hot button topic with different people, but I mean, everyone.
All right, I'll give you my take first.
Okay.
Yeah, Lee, go ahead, bro.
I'll give you my take first.
Say it all.
All right. My thing is this. I think when you're single and you're trying to figure out where you're trying to go in life and who you're trying to be with in life, it's good to date a lot. That way you get to see a lot. You get to see, you know, how women, you know, how women think, how different women think. You know, you get to see what women like, what women don't like. You get to figure out which women, you know, is a lot of us don't like to date women that are like us. We want a woman that's totally different from us. So I think when you're dating, you can date as many women as you want, but you can't be, you know, booed up with like two or three different women, because then, you know, you don't even know what you're looking for. And then you don't basically form a sense of commitment. So I know, like, for myself, when I was when I was a young man, I would say about 18, 19, you know, 20. I'll say 17 to 18. I was out there a little bit, you know. But that's when you're supposed to be out there, you know, you trying to figure out things in life. But I got married kind of young, too, because I knew I wanted to settle down. I knew I wanted to have a family. And, you know, but I think when you're young, it's okay to date multiple women. I mean, just dating. But I think by the time you turn 25, maybe 20, maybe between 25 and 27, I'll say 25 to 28, that's when you need to start figuring out, do you want to be married? You know, do you just want to be single your whole life? And that's when you just got to start, like, narrowing down your choices and figuring out what type of woman you are attracted to that brings out the best in you and, you know, that'll enhance your future. While you're in your early 20s, man, just have fun. That's my take on that.
Yeah, yo, I think that's I think a lot of guys would agree with you. I do too. And I don't think it's necessary. I mean, I know my cousin right now, he's about to marry his high school sweetheart, and it's going great for him. So I'm glad about that. But, I think it helps to date up multiple women just to get, like, the perspective of, like you said, what you like and what you're looking for. But
yeah, you know, like, I think it's easy for us to – like, I'll start off with this. I think it's easy for us as men, because everybody in here right now is a male. And so I think we can all say, like, agree, or probably agree. It's easy for us as men to date somebody and to get comfortable with them to the point where you might start thinking about the future with them and if you could picture a future with them. And in many cases, you might say, Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy because if you're comfortable, you could picture yourself, you know, keeping on going on that track. And then, you know, you could see yourself trying to see things through and try to see if it works out. But at the same time is that, you know, aside from just getting comfortable with one girl, I just think that could be, you know, that's kind of not harmful. I don't want to put that wrong word, but like that could be holding you back in your life too, because you're only seeing, you're especially like at our age, like Lee is, you know, years and years old, like he's seen a lot more life than us and then myself, and he understands this, but like I think it only allows us to see through one scope. And as much as I'm happy for people who, you know, are about to marry their high school sweetheart or their college sweetheart or whatever, I'm happy for you that you did that, or that whoever did that, you know, salute to that. But at the same time is that I think that both of those people and somewhere in their mind think about the possibilities of what could have been with other men and women, and whether or not it takes over, you know, whether or not that like fully occupies their mind is not really the factor. It's just, I'm just trying to say that I know the thought is there, and every now and then they probably do, those thoughts, they do get faced with that, and they're like, wow, what if I had, you know, had this with this person, or she kind of liked me back then, what if we had, and what if I had really pursued that, maybe she was the one, like, and I don't think that people who, you know, like I said, good for them, but people who happen to make it work with that first girlfriend, or second girlfriend, third girlfriend, and never really go out and experience life, they don't know what the possibilities could have been. Like the same things with people who regret things, they don't know what would have been if they hadn't done it. So what would have been if you had done it, and in the opposite way, given it the chance, you know, how much better could that have been? You would just never know because you never gave it the time of day and you just only saw it through one scope. So I think at this young age, I think it's important for us to experiment and get out there and date, because not even just about dating, but just think about how big the world is. Like, it's crazy to think about how big the world is. Just think about how big the United States is. Think about how many girls there are that would want to date you in the United States. Like, okay, you're a handsome young man, you know, let's just say. So many girls out there probably think you're attractive. So many girls out there want to go on a date with you. A lot of times it comes down to you talking to them first because they don't want to, you know, the ego thing. So one or the other got to talk to the other first. But you'll never know until you try it. And the small scale goes to a big scale because you're right now you're just thinking of all the girls you could have dated in your local area. So think about every girl at your high school you could have dated. Now go on to the college level. Every girl in your state you could have dated. Now to go on to the United States. So, wow, what if I traveled the states? You know, what if I went out to Denver and saw what girls was out there in Denver that might, you know, that might be the one. So you just never knew it because you never gave that opportunity the time of day. It's the same thing with traveling. And people don't want to take vacations. They want to just see their life through one scope and say, I'm just going to live in the same city for the rest of my life and I'm never going to do anything because I don't have the money to. And that's another thing where you just never know what could have happened because you never took the chance. So that's my thing on that. I think that it's important for us when we're young to get out there and experiment, because if not, you will never have all those experiences and you will never know the possibilities and you will never have met people that might change your life, you know, for one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think another thing about women that are different from guys is women like titles. They like titles.
That's a
girlfriend, wife, you know, things like that. You know, so that makes it, once you dated a girl for probably about, I'd say about a month, you know, they start looking for a title. They just don't want to be the girl you call on Wednesday to go hang out with on Friday every other week. They don't want that. So they start looking for where do they fit at in your life, you know, because then they trying to figure out where you fit at in their life. So I think you have to keep that in mind, too, that women do like titles. And if you're not willing to give a woman a title, then you have to know when to either back off or either step up. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
And plus, women also like to hold grudges, too. And sometimes that makes things worse. And you know, look, let's be real. There's a reason why y'all have watched at least like one episode of Love & Hip Hop, at least one. Be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of times that you see a lot more beefs with women than men.
Yeah. I get what you're going with this. I get it.
You see what I'm saying? Like men, even though of course there are sometimes feuds with men. Like men don't hold as much grudges as women do. Sometimes, like even when they're like a altercation, sometimes men can just either settle it and move on or leave each other alone. Women, most of the time, they like to be very, how can I say, very
petty.
yes, petty and confusing. Sometimes they'll tell you they want this, and then you try to provide them with that. Then they say, nah, I don't want that. Then you're like, what the hell do you want? It's like asking them, like, what you want to eat. And they're like, I don't know, you pick. And then you pick, and they be like, but I don't want to go there. Well, what about this? I don't want to go there either. So where the hell do you want to go? I don't know. Exactly. It's like,
yo,
sometimes
that
you
was
got, good. Sometimes.
Nah, keep going. My bad. Yeah, keep going.
But look, you see my point. Sometimes you got find that woman that is, because you always need that girl to make things confusing sometimes. But at the end of the day, you love her. But you don't want that like toxic, crazy, relationship that brings you down all the time and you feel miserable.
Yeah,
and that's just with one girl. Imagine dealing with that with numerous of them. Like you
but
got.
But you know
you
what's
got,
funny though? But you know what's funny though? To add on to what Ronnie just said is, guys can be sensitive too, though.
Oh yeah.
Guys can get in their feelings too. I mean, it's kind of not in vogue for a guy to be like, you know, he supposed to be tough, strong, and all that. But you know, you got guys that are shy, reserved, you know, that have probably been hurt before, and, you know, they don't know how to express their feelings and stuff like that. So it's kind of crazy, man. But I think when you're young, man, have fun, man. Have fun. Be upfront about what you're looking for. If you're just willing to date a girl, just tell her that. Say, you know, I'm not ready to be in a serious relationship. I just want to date, you know, get to know you, you know, see where it go. And I think that's one of the things that men and women never say up front what they're looking for. Because, you know, a lot of women, if they over 25, they over 28, normally they're looking for a husband. They're not looking for a boyfriend.
Yeah.
They're looking for a husband. They're looking for husband material. So, you know, you just got to put out there exactly what you're doing, what you're looking for, so you know they're not playing the guessing game, and you're not playing the guessing game either.
And also the waiting game, because now you're trying to see, okay, so what are we doing? Who's making the move? Who's doing this?
Yeah.
Who's doing that? Or you want to do this? What do you want to do? Why are you doing this? At this point, you're trying to see, okay, are we wasting each other's time with this waiting game we're doing?
Yeah,
like,
that's why I say
you
just got
to
express yourself.
Because after a while, it's like, all right, we've been in circles for a long time. I'll try and go back and forth on this and that. Do we work out? Would we see each other? Do we see ourselves dealing with each other long term?
Exactly, yeah.
Then that plays an part.
So hopefully that answers your question, bro.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I did the best I could.
I think that kind of summarizes
yeah.
what a lot of guys feel. And it's tough, too, because I think a common thing is people meet someone, you know, someone when they're young, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that right now. And they're like, oh, shit, I regret that. Or, like, that was a good person, because, like, you don't know it at the time, but you learn it later a lot of times.
Yeah. I just think a lot of dating woes they could probably be prevented if people just told the other person up front what they're looking for, what their expectations are, instead of you guessing, she guessing, you got one thing in mind, she got something else, another thing in mind, and, you know, it's